I wanna kiss ya, I'll no longer hide behind the night. I ain't scared of stares from strangers out in broad daylight. I am done with all these covert kisses, stolen sly just when we can. I'm gonna make my man my missus, put a ring on his left hand. How long, brother of mine, it's a matter of time. How long, oh, and this is love, yeah, this is love, this is love, yeah, this is love. You can marry a millionaire on a TV show, get hitched in Vegas to some bitch you barely know. Me and my love have spent some 7 years just building this home that we made. Still our love is second class, our union is still renegade. How long, brother of mine, it's a matter of time. How long, oh, and this is love, yeah, this is love, and this is love, yeah, this is love. I don't bother your love, 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 I don't bother your love. How long, brother of mine, it's a matter of time, yes. How long? Oh.
Anthem is a song that I wrote, you know, really shortly after Prop 8 passed in Los Angeles, right, or at California, rather. I live in Los Angeles with my partner, my husband. And I've never really been an activist, per se. You know, I've always been really open in my music career about my sexuality, but I've never really taken on a political issue or anything. I think I was rather lazy in the weeks leading up to the election and really just assumed that it wouldn't pass. I believed in the, I don't want to say the goodness of people. I just really believed that it wouldn't pass and was really stunned when it did and was moved to action. So I wrote, that's the best thing that I could do to contribute to the movement.
That was Christopher Dolman talking about his song from last year called Anthem. And this is J.D. Doyle welcoming you to Queer Music Heritage. I'm pleased to bring you this month 6 interviews with young artists talking about their new music. In the first part, you'll hear from Christopher Dolman and Mike Rickard, and in part 2, from Brett Every and Dylan Rice. And part 3 brings us Richard Cortez and Jeff Heiskell. Each of these artists are of the type that you love their first release and eagerly await their next. And in the case of Christopher Dolman, that took about 5 years. His debut CD from 2004 was called Race the Light, and it became one of my favorites of that year. So I've been chomping at the bit for new material, and he delivered. In addition to the CD single Anthem, he took the unusual step of releasing 2 EPs at the same time, one called Never Was and the other called Sad Brittany, which is something you probably would not expect, covers of songs by Britney Spears. So I had to hear about the release of the 2 EPs.
How did you happen to release 2 EPs at the same time?
Well, you know, I went into the studio really intending just to record my EP of original songs, Never Was. And then what happened was there was a scheduling snafu where the studio kind of bumped us around a bunch and they felt bad, and so they gave us a free day at the very, very beginning of the project. And I hadn't been in the studio in 5 years, you know. So the thought was, why don't we take a day and just kind of play around a bit and have fun before we kind of dive into this intense project. And we just were really surprised by the results of this Sad Britney EP of Britney Spears covers. So we finished it. And the coolest part about it was that it set a really playful tone that I think carried over into recording Never Was, and I think really elevated it.
How'd you get the idea to do the Britney Spears EP?
I got the idea to do Sad Britney because I'd always done Gimme More ever since that song came out. I'd stumbled upon that cover, and I played that live many, many times. So when we had this free day, we just did that song, and then we just kind of, we were like, well, what else do we have? And we just ended up with these four awesome songs.
Every time they turn the lights down, I just wanna go the extra mile for you. My display of affection feels like no one else in the room. We can get down like there's no one around. We'll keep on rocking, keep on rocking. Cameras are flashing while we're dirty dancing. They keep watching, keep watching. Feels like the crowd is saying, gimme more, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme more, gimme more. The center of attention, even when we're up against the wall, you got me in a crazy position. If you're on a mission, you got my permission. Oh, we can get down like there's no one around. We'll keep on rocking, keep rocking. Cameras are flashing while we're dirty dancing. They keep watching, keep watching. Feels like the crowd is saying, gimme, gimme more, gimme more. Gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme, gimme more, gimme more, gimme
What song from Sad Britney has been getting the most attention?
The song that's gotten the most attention has been Toxic, which is exactly what I expected.
I love the gay spin Toxic gets.
I know. It's cool. That's the first one that we finished, and I was like, when we came up with the harmonies for that, I was just like, oh, I love this. I had no idea how awesome it could have been.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? A guy like you should wear a warning. It's dangerous, I'm falling. There's no escape, I can't wait. I need a head, baby, give me it. You're dangerous, I'm loving it. High, can't come down. It's in the air and it's all around. Do you feel me now? With a taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under a taste of a poison paradise. I'm addicted to you. Don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic? It's getting late to to give you up. I took a sip from my devil cup. Slowly it's taking over me. Too high, can't come down. It's in the air and it's all around. Can you feel me now? With the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under. Taste of a poison paradise. I'm addicted to you, don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic? Intoxicate me now. With your loving now, I think I'm ready now. I think I'm ready now. Intoxicate me now. With your loving now, I think I'm ready now. I think I'm ready now. I think I'm ready now. With the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic, I'm slipping under. A taste of a poison paradise. Addicted to you, don't you know that you're toxic? And I love what you do. Don't you know that you're toxic?
Well, I have an advantage or disadvantage in that I don't follow the music of Britney Spears. So these are kind of new songs to me. I mean, I know her song Womanizer because the guy in the video is so hot. Guess you didn't consider it.
No, well, you know, I it's funny when I did, you know, in the my recording of Gimme More in the bridge, you know, we just have this triangle solo. But when I'm just playing solo acoustic live, I don't, you know, I don't have that. So what I usually do is sort of transition into just one chorus of Womanizer and then back into Gimme More. So I did consider it, but no. I mean, only as a joke. I mean, because the challenge was to be quality, you know, if you happen to not be in on the joke. And I think we succeeded in that department.
Tell me about your take on Baby One More Time.
Baby One More Time is interesting. For me, that one is mostly just comedy. I mean, because the only real ironic spin on that I could hear is abuse, which isn't particularly amusing and which isn't anything that I wanted to put out. So that song I actually was my least favorite when we had just had the guitar and vocal, and I was intending to not include it on the release. But then what we did is we had George Stanford, who is the fellow who produced Anthem and my upcoming EP. He is a really incredible horn player. He, I believe, actually is playing trombone in the Jonas Brothers TV show theme song. But he came in and just laid down those horn parts, and it just was so lovely. That's really what inspired me to love it and to release it.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. Now you're out of sight. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now, because my loneliness is killing me. I must confess, believe when I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Any word from the Britney people about your recording?
Nothing official. I've heard a couple of rumors, and who knows? I mean, I don't know if she would ever hear it, or if she's exposed enough to outside world to ever hear it. But I would be really curious her take. That's for sure. And I hope that she would take it in the proper spirit. I mean, some people some people have taken it as me making fun of Britney Spears when it's really not that at all. It's some sort of, you know, some sort of twisted homage with a lot of love and respect.
I know many people sometimes get impatient with an artist if they're waiting for the next release and it seems to take too long. Maybe you could comment on that process for an indie artist on how difficult that is.
Well, you know, there's a number of factors. I mean, one of them is just purely financial. I mean, I was really blessed to have a lot of money to make my first record, and I did not have that same experience, you know, when I went into the studio to record these new EPs. So, you know, it's a whole different ballpark when you've got to raise money. As far as songwriting goes, I mean, everybody has their own, you know, creative clock. You know, I tend to make my way organically through my life, whatever aspect of my life it is, you know, if it's, you know, my personal life or my music career. And, you know, it really took me this long to have the body of songs and to really organically find the people to work with that I felt would really do my follow-up justice.
I interviewed you when your first album came out, and you told me you considered your CD as a journey. And what are your thoughts regarding your music 5 years later?
You know, I still feel the same way, and I think that is part of why I didn't do a full album as my follow-up, because I had so many songs, you know, that I could have made an album, but the truth was I didn't feel like they hung together in a way that really communicated some sort of, you know, common thread or anything like that. And I think that by doing the EPs, I managed to, you know, the arcs are smaller, but I think no less powerful. So I still feel that way. I mean, when you put in either of those EPs, Sad Britney or Never Was, I think that there's a journey that you take, even if it's a shorter one.
At that time, I asked you what song from Race the Light you were the most proud of, and you told me one, and I wonder what you would say today.
Oh, goodness. Well, I think that I would say Over My Head. I'm not sure what I answered 5 years ago, but Over My Head is, to me, at least in terms of songwriting, the closest I've gotten to great.
How do you greet the day with sunshine in your eyes and a smile that seems to say, hey, it's okay. Every morning it's like I'm raising the dead. Gotta fool my heart so I can fool my head. Lift out of bed. Lift out of bed. Miles of water, oceans worrying me. When I wake up, it's over my head. Over my head, it's over my head. The weather of worry and the freeze of fear keep my hands on the wheel, but still I'm too scared to steer. Explorer of the unmapped and gray, with fear in your eyes, you look at me and say, it's okay. Miles of water, oceans worrying me. When I wake up, it's over my head.
Where did the title from the EP Never Was come from?
The title of Never Was came from the song Has Been, which is the last song on the EP. And it initially, this, I was going to call the EP The Has-Been Who Never Was, which is the whole line of the chorus of that song, but I was kind of thinking of it as sort of like a, it sounded sort of like a fable, like a short story, which is kind of what I intended from the EP format. But then, you know, that sounded a little bit too heavy-handed for me and a little bit too dark. And so I really liked Never Was because there's something like, there's a bit of a twinkle to it, you know. There's something a little bit hopeful, and it also sounds a little bit like a fairy tale.
Tell me more about the song Has-Been.
The Has-Been is a song that I wrote actually in my head while I was driving back from a gig in San Diego one night a few years back. It was a really, really rough show. I got there and the booker had changed my time to accommodate a friend of his, and so the people that had come out to see me in San Diego, a town that I don't live in, you know, either had to wait or didn't get to see me at all, and then the show was frustrating, and I was just kind of feeling lost on my path, and I'm driving back late at night from this gig, and just feeling like giving up before you ever really got what you were going for.
I'm a fraud, I pretend I ain't chasing glory. Just a lonely wanderer trying to tell a simple story. You can feel free to cry or laugh at the kid with the carefully practiced autograph. So I'll be the has-been who never was. Hold my breath and I'll jump from this boxcar because it circles the mountain and never starts to climb. I'll leave my pennies on the railroad track. I'll jump from this train, you know I won't look back. Leave this jumble of words for someone else to rhyme. I say that every time.
What's the overall message to Never Was?
Never Was is really a journey about being, about your dreams. It's about being so overwhelmed by your dreams that you have to kind of wander away in order to really find your way back to them. I'm really psyched. I mean, I love these two EPs, and then I love the one that I'm about to finish that I'm going to put out in the spring, and then, you know, we'll see what's up after that.
It changes thinking from our point of view, too. Like, many albums are only online now. They're only on iTunes. And it's like, oh,
right.
I'm not sure what I think about that.
Yeah, you know, well, Sad Britney is only on iTunes. Or, I mean, I think it's on like, two other sites as well.
It's only digital available online.
Yes, Sad Britney is. But that was just that's a financial choice because paying for the licensing of the songs, licensing them digitally, I pay as I go. If I manufacture it, I have to pay the royalties for the amount that I manufacture, not the amount that I sell.
Oh, okay.
So it's about having more money up front. But it's very important for me to have physical copies of Never Was to sell at shows. Very important. I mean, even though the online sales are probably more, and even with Race to Light, I've sold way more digitally than I have physically.
Huh. That goes back to the short attention span. If someone's watching you live and they're ready to buy the album, are they going to remember to go home and download it? Maybe not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, 9 out of 10 times, no, they're not. Definitely. I think that CDs and digital music will coexist on some level because there's always going to be people who want, you know, who cherish just the memento.
Well, I'm a collector. I want to hold it in my hand. It's
sure,
more, it's
absolutely.
More real to me if I can hold it in my hand.
Sure. And as an artist, it's less real to me not having the physical CD. You know, I want to look at it. But I think, again, I think that they'll coexist. I don't think that the CD is in real danger.
Mm-hmm. On audio file, I don't think we've done yet an album that's only been available digitally, but I can see it happening.
Sure. I think a lot of them will, just because you're also just saving so much money. I mean, with manufacturing, it's so expensive, and it only costs like $30 to slap it up on every single digital distribution place, you know, available. I uploaded Never Was through a site called Reverb Nation. That's $35 a year, but they don't take any cut of your royalties. If you upload it through CD Baby, you pay a one-time $35 fee, but they take 9% of your earnings. So it's really a toss-up about what works best for you.
Which have you found to be the most lucrative of the digital sites?
Oh, iTunes, far and away.
A while back, Christopher sent me a demo he had recorded, which I really liked. And although he's not yet found the project he wanted to use it with, he gave me permission to include it on this show. Kind of like an exclusive, and I thank him for that. It's a natural for me. It's called Music on the Radio.
I've been thinking of you, I'm standing in line, at the store around the corner from my place. I've been thinking of you, I shower on my trains.
Closing this segment on Christopher Dahlman is one more song from his EP Never Was, called Coming Around, and you can find out more about his music at www.chrisdahlman.com.
I'm changing the way that I do business. I'm closing up shop. I woke up on a question, is this my life or not? So long to feel like I was giving it a shot, but I'm not. I'm not. Don't know how it got to where I sleepwalk through every day. My pen don't move, my guitar never seems to wanna play. 9 to 5, I'm half alive. How long have I been this way? Keeping my pulse at bay. The trick is how you choose to see it. It's coming around, it's coming around. If I can dream it, I can be it. It's coming around, it's coming around. On the horizon, this kid is rising up.
And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, please listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Friday night, Saturday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. My next artist's first release also came out in 2004. He's from the Atlanta area, and his name is Mike Rickard, and that CD was called Stirred Not Shaken. He's got a new one now called Sweat, which I think is terrific, and I ask him for a quick summary of it.
When I was writing the songs for Sweat, there were some themes that came out all about just like living my life to the fullest, getting the most out of every moment, to keep my relationship with my partner fresh and exciting, and just to balance that with all the pressures that come from work and everything else. And it takes a lot of effort and sweat to balance those things and do them successfully. And I think those are themes that everybody can relate to.
I love the album overall, not only musically, but that the lyrics have such meat to them.
Well, thank you. I would say that I tend to be one who's a bit analytical and always questioning and searching and trying to grow, and I think that just probably comes out in the lyrics. But I did want to balance where I felt like the last CD, some of the content might have been a little darker, a little more introspective. I wanted this to still be, you know, be more in the moment, but still really have something to say. So thank you.
I do want to get back to the first album, Stirred Not Shaken, and ask about the song Natural.
Okay. Natural, when we were writing and recording the CD, I was at a point that we were getting sort of near the end of the recording process, and I was trying to decide, did I want to come out as a gay artist, or did I just want to, you know, come out as a musician, just put a CD out as a musician. And ultimately, I felt that if I did not include, you know, outwardly acknowledge that I'm a gay man, that the CD would really be more just a collection of songs as opposed to something that really reflected my life. When I wrote the lyrics, I tested it out on several of my friends, and I let them read it. And then at the end, when it says it's only natural that I would fall in love with a guy like you, the eyebrows would go up, and I got the exact reaction that I wanted, is that people were just picturing a normal love, not loving relationship, and then at the end, there's a little bit of a hook. And I also thought it was a fun way to be a little bit subversive in saying that it's natural that I would fall in love with a guy where, you know, there's all these people that say it's unnatural and, you know, all that stupid stuff. So, but I didn't want it to be a confrontational song. I just wanted it to be a song where anybody could picture their own relationship and then at the end, you know, throw in the guy-on-guy element to it.
Find the future.
from Mike Rickard's 2004 album, Stirred Not Shaken. That was Natural.
What was the overall message of your first album?
I would say that was much more of an introspective record, and it was really reflecting on everything leading up to that point, which I had a whole lot to kind of cull through, which basically kind of came into self-acceptance, learning to love myself, growing up in church and going to Bible college, and then realizing that I was a gay man. I had a number of things to kind of figure out. I think that's where a lot of the introspection came from on that record.
And what's the overall message of the album, Sweat?
You know, Sweat is about, I would say, more about living in the moment. The songs and stories talk a lot about being in a particular situation at that moment and what you feel about it and just living life to the fullest. There's a definition of sweat that I really liked that says to labor or exert oneself so as to cause perspiration. And I think you can either just go through the motions in life and it really kind of runs you, or you can run your life and accomplish some of the things you want to and have fun while doing it. And that's some of the thought process behind the CD.
Didn't you have a quote somewhere, life is not a noun, it's a verb?
Exactly. That's from a song called Anything of Nothing. And I spent a part of my life being afraid to try things. And at one point I was kind of thinking, am I afraid of failing or am I afraid of succeeding? And I think the expression nothing ventured, nothing gained is pretty true. You can't wait for anything to happen. You kind of have to make it happen yourself. So the quote from Anything of Nothing is basically exactly that, taking charge and doing it. And because the end result, anything of nothing is nothing.
Sometimes it seems so random, nothing seems to fit. Fear gets in the way and blocks what lies ahead. There are no guarantees, but would we want them anyway? If all we had to do is just show up and breathe. Just breathe. It's time to make a change, so I'll push, I'll pull, I'll plead. And if that's not enough, I'll love, I'll fight, I'll bleed. I've come to realize that the choice is up to me. Fate can take care of itself, I'll make my own destiny. Cause anything of nothing, anything of nothing, anything of nothing is nothing, is nothing.
What's your writing process?
When I write songs, I usually start with lyrics first, and a lot of times I can be inspired by something that I read or just see a quote or just a thought that may come to my head, and I keep kind of a journal of all of those thoughts and ideas, and sometimes those will just stew in my brain, and I kind of know when it's time to sit down and try and flesh everything out, and I usually just kind of brain dump on anything related to a particular topic, and by doing that really kind of helps tell what sort of story I want to convey. And then at that point, I'll sit down and write the verses and the chorus and the bridge and that kind of thing. And sometimes the music comes somewhat simultaneously. Sometimes it can come quite a while after. But I usually always start with the lyrics.
Well, I love that you write about things that other people don't, like the fact that a relationship takes work.
Well, I would say that where that kind of comes from is just I'm writing about things in my own life and what I'm experiencing. And my partner and I have been together for a good while, and you know, I think every relationship goes through the, you know, the honeymoon phase, the more settling in phase. And then once you get past that, you're really at the point of trying to make sure you don't take each other for granted, that you keep the relationship fresh and new. And if you don't do that, then it just can become a bit boring. And so I think that's where I'm at in my life, is just doing the small, simple things that keep things interesting.
You know I'm going to ask about stupid stuff like that.
That is, I've always said, you know, and like looking at my relationship with my partner, is that we had a lot of the big things in common. And a lot of times when you get together with somebody, it's because of the things that you have in common. Those are what probably brings you together, but that's not necessarily what keeps you together. I've always said that a relationship is built on the small things, the little simple things that you do, the thoughtful things that you do. So that has always stuck in my head, and the idea of stupid stuff like that came from a story that I read, and I just decided to write about all the little things that you can do to be fun and surprising and keep things fresh. And I thought it was a fun song and probably one of the happiest songs I've ever written. So I was really, really pleased with it. But that's the whole thing behind it, is just the stupid stuff like that. There's nothing better, and that's what really keeps a relationship fresh.
Kiss me in the morning to start the day off right, and I'll tell you that I love you before we say goodnight. Those are just two bookends on either side of sleep. What matters most is what we do with all that's in between. You call me through the day just to say hello, and if I have to work late, I call to let you know. We always eat together, take the dogs for a walk. It gives us time to laugh, it gives us time to talk. Just a little bit of give and take, the simple things that make or break, the glue that holds it all together. Oh, I know there's nothing better than stupid stuff like that. Yeah, 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 stupid stuff like that. You bring a gift just because you want to, and I watch your favorite TV show just to be with you. We still hold hands just like we did when we first met, and there's a lot of unused space in our king size bed. You prefer the morning, but I love the night. I'll come to bed early, you'll sleep in a little late. We'll both call in sick on a warm summer's day, then jump in the car just to get away. It's just a little bit of give and take, the simple things that make or break, the glue that holds it all together. Oh, I know there's nothing better than stupid stuff like that. Yeah, yeah, stupid stuff like that.
Tell me about When the Hot Cools Down.
Now that came from a story that I was reading, and I can't even remember what story it was, but the quote the person said was, well, you know, I'm still going to be here when the hot cools down. And I thought that was such a cool expression and statement. And really, as we go through relationships and you kind of get past the get to know you phase and get into the normal everyday life, that hot really does start cooling down a little bit. But a relationship isn't just about infatuation or these feelings of love. It is actually about commitment. So that's what I chose to write about, is that when the hot starts cooling down, you take the things that you need to do to heat them up again.
From
the moment that we met, I knew that you'd be mine. We've only talked for hours, but it feels like a lifetime. Now hand is holding hand, and lips they share a kiss. Now I know where heaven is, never thought it'd feel like this. I can barely catch my breath, my heart is beating fast. But I'm not looking for tonight, I want something that will last. Before we go too far, for now let's take it slow. I have a question, there's something that I need to know. When it's not so new, and the shine wears off, when you're just not sure, will you still be here when the heat cools down? Well, that was years ago. Is it harder than it seems? Have we found the middle ground between the extremes? We make each other mad, yeah, we drive each other crazy. Sometimes we get distracted, sometimes we just get lazy. But you make my heart skip a beat, you take my breath away. I've learned a secret for tomorrow, he's living for today. I knew we'd come this far, but there's a long way left to go. I have a question, there's something that I need to know. When it's not so new, you're just not sure, and you think you've had enough. Are you gonna turn and run, or are you gonna stick around? Will you still be here when the hot cools down?
Tell me about the song, Just Like New.
Well, we live in a house that was built in the 20s. It's a bungalow, and it's a really awesome house. But when we bought that house and started doing work, there's always so many surprises that come in an old house. For example, when we, the downstairs bathroom, we thought we were going to do just a little bit of minor work to give it a little bit of an update, and ended up having to strip the walls down to the stud and just completely redo so many things. It seems like every project we've done in that house, what we think is going to take a certain amount of time and cost a certain amount of money, always takes more time and more money, more effort than we've initially thought. And I remember thinking about that house as a metaphor for relationships or opening your life to someone, that there's always surprises, there's always work or a little more work or a little more effort. And I just thought it was kind of a fun way to spoof, you know, talk about my relationship with my partner. Just saying, I'd like you better if I ever get you just like new. And I said that about the house all the time. I think I'd really like this house if it was new. But of course, people aren't new, and so I just thought it was a fun way to use the house as an analogy for a relationship.
We bought an old house, yeah. And it's got great bones, but it came with some problems, some hidden and some unknown. The floors are a little saggy, the paint's peeling off the walls. My hair is blowing in the breeze, and the furnace just went cold. Or call 1-888 we fix it. Tell them what's gone wrong.
you got a little bit more. Yeah, you've got some things that I just didn't bargain for. Sometimes you wanna argue, sometimes you wanna fight, sometimes you have to prove a point, sometimes you're not quite right. Gonna call 1-888, we fix it, and I'll tell them.
That was called Just Like New from Mike Rickard's new CD, Sweat. This is J.D. Doyle, and again, I want to thank Christopher Dahlman and Mike Rickard for the interviews and you for joining me on Queer Music Heritage. Mike's website is at www.mikerickard.com, and Rickard is spelled R-I-C-K-A-R-D. And don't forget to check out part two of this show for interviews with an Australian artist named Brett Every and Dylan Rice from Chicago. And I just can't stop myself. There's also part three with interviews with singer-songwriter Richard Cortez and Jeff Highschool, who'll talk about his own music and of when he was the frontman of the popular 90s band The Judy Bats. You can find all that at my site at www.queermusicheritage.com. The closing song by Mike Rickard is called Sweat, and I ask him why he made it the title track.
Because I think overall the theme of the entire CD is really about living life in the moment, just for me to get the absolute most out of my existence. And because of that, you can't do it by sitting on your duff. You have to make those kinds of things happen, and it takes effort. So that's why I called it Sweat. Plus, I thought Sweat was kind of a fun song to sort of highlight, because it definitely is one that'll get you moving.
come on, let's sweat, sweat. Get absolutely soaking wet. Let's sweat, sweat. Get absolutely soaking wet. Sweat, sweat. Get absolutely soaking wet. Let's sweat, sweat. Get absolutely soaking wet.